So on Wednesday, we started something which I've chosen to title, "What Now?" What Now? But in reality, it is really an explanation of what happens after salvation. What happens after salvation? And really, what we're looking at for this month are some important truths that really pertain to us when we receive salvation. Now, I want to start by saying that salvation is not us giving our lives to God. Giving our lives to God is in our commitment, is in our service. Salvation is receiving the life of God for us. Hallelujah. Because before man gets born again, the Bible says he's dead in trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2. So it is important that we understand that in this salvation it is a gift of God. I'm going to come there. I'm going to do actually a full review of what we did on Wednesday. Is that okay? Is that okay? Amen. Because repetition is the life of truth. Now, repeat it. But Peter said, I will commit to say some things again to you, but we will see that Peter now. But Peter says that the things that I said to you, you already know. But I want to repeat so that you may be established in the present truth. Establishment comes by us hearing the same things. In other words, actually, one of the proofs of maturity is consistency. What did I say? One of the proofs of maturity is consistency. Be worried. Every time you're switching posts, every time you're switching too much of allegiances, sometimes something is not yet realigned in the area of maturity. So we're really understanding what happens after salvation. Romans 1:16. Paul says, "Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." So he's trying to tell us that salvation comes in the gospel. Salvation is not outside the gospel. Salvation is in the gospel of Christ. In Romans 1, Paul, we call it the gospel. We call it the gospel of God. We call it the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of God, and the gospel of Christ are one the same thing. So salvation, we say, is in the message of the gospel. When it comes to salvation, we say that God's interest in salvation is twofold. That is, it is twofold. And from that, we are in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, unfortunately, we have many a time explained that text to be a text of praying for people in power, but it's not really a text of praying for people in power, but it's a text for the will of God in salvation. I will therefore that prayer, supplication, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, for those who came, and for those who authorities, so that we may live quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and fear of God. And then I'm interested in verse 4, which says, "Who desires what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we say we have a twofold interest of God in salvation. The first one, "Who wills all men to be saved?" To be saved. And we say we can pick this up from Mark chapter 16 and 15. God wills all men to be saved. Do you want to open there and read a picture? Mark 16 and 15, the equivalent of what would be like Matthew 28, okay? Mark chapter 16. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. Okay? I say unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, I've told you, every creature there doesn't mean everything. Every creature is speaking about preaching the gospel to every man. Because we don't preach to animals. Hallelujah. It is to preach the gospel to every creature.
remember, the twofold interest of God in salvation, as seen in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who wills all men to be saved, and the second thing is what? To come to the knowledge of the truth. Come to the knowledge of the truth. In here, we have what we will understand as spiritual growth. Spiritual growth isn't salvation.
Many of them have made that mistake to think that spiritual growth refers to salvation, but spiritual growth is not salvation.
Again, we'll start with the Great Commission, but this time we pick up from Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20. Now, this is an anthem here, and we're sure it should be getting to stay with our mind. All, what did the Jews say to them? All authority.
Let's just go there. I really think that in this field we read all these texts, okay? It is all authority.
He's given unto me in heaven and on earth.
Verse 19, what did he say?
Go ye therefore and teach nations. And if you stop there, that would be the first part to be saved. Okay? To teach nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And then we baptize you. We have one of these before, and we will read it again.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. What does it say? Let's read together.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Teaching them.
So in teaching there, you have what we understand as to instruct. But what are you instructing in? What we ought to instruct the people who are becoming disciples now? Your kingdom doesn't say to make disciples. The kingdom says to teach. But the word, the Greek word there for teaching, is the word that actually implies to make students, to make pupils. They are like, you have like an apprentice. Brother Marino, now in your workshop, if you have a young lad that you are taking along and you're teaching him to do your craft, what do? You show him both by instruction and by example, and you also let him do exactly what you're doing. That is the essence of discipleship. In discipleship, you're literally learning to be like your discipler or the other, or whatever it is that you're being discipled into. Hallelujah. So, that first part speaks about the student. That's why when a believer gets born again, he ought to be planted somewhere where he becomes a student. He's not left to himself, but he's becoming a student. And a student of what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And you have seen that the word commanded there will speak of the work that Jesus Christ indeed has done, and has explained to them in the 40 days post his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is instruction. When you come to be a student, you are instructed. Hallelujah. Amen. And then what you are instructed in is what we call the doctrine. What I'm doing like this morning is to instruct you in the doctrine. I wanted to use a great one in this series as possible. On 9 and 4. After Wednesday, we use it now. Hallelujah. So you have what we call the didache. The didache speaks of the doctrine. It speaks of the explanation. It speaks of the body of truth. And what we have here, speaks of the acts of instruction. In that you have, who remembers Abbott? Maybe Abbott is not a physics. Abbott has the doctrine of physics. But the teacher will come to class and begin to instruct in that doctrine. Hallelujah. Say, I have to get examples.
Amen. So we have the twofold interest of God in salvation, that all men should be saved and they should come to the knowledge of the truth. There is a knowledge of the truth, and every single person, when they get born again, they must be introduced to this. That is in the message. The message is a message of God. What is the message of the gospel? The message of the gospel is a message of God's grace.
Romans 5 and 8.
What does Romans 5 and 8 say?
Why? Is it not? God commended his love towards us. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
So we think the gospel introduces a message of God's grace. I said grace is the cognate noun of the verb to give or give. The grace describes the gratuitous giving, the benevolent giving of God.
Hallelujah.
So the gospel is a message of God's grace. But Romans 5, 8.
When you are yet a sinner, Christ died for us.
It means that Christ's death is not predicated on a man's anything. It means that it is absolutely on the giving of the sacrifice of God without man.
Hallelujah.
In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 reinforces that. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Let's read on.
And that not of yourselves, come on.
It is a gift of God, come on.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
And we say the faith does not come from the man. Everything about grace are you saved through faith. That is the gift of God. The definite article, the gift of God, speaks about everything. Grace through faith. That is the gift of God. And you say, what happens?
Faith is the means by which you access grace. Now remember. Now don't just do that anyhow, Christ. What I mean is this.
In grace, which is God's gracious giving, without man asking, without man doing. Now we are coming from Romans 5. I'm speaking about salvation. On stage. Okay? I'm speaking about salvation. So we receive God's giving when man is still a sinner.
We see God's sacrifice even while man is still in sin.
So we call that a gracious. Okay?
That is what God offers for humanity. Now this is faith. Faith is a man accepting that gift.
What does that mean? That means for man to accept that gift, real faith, it must be there.
Okay. That went well. We'll just go over it a better way.
Faith is a man's positive response to the gospel. And belief is a man's negative response to the gospel. And you're going to find this in Hebrews chapter 3, and Hebrews chapter 3 later, and also Hebrews chapter 4, 1 and 2. The writer of Hebrews says, for the same word preached unto us, was also preached unto them. Okay? You go to Hebrews, you go to Hebrews. But the word preached, what happened? Did not profit them. It was chapter 5, it happened first. Did not profit them, or assisted them. Oh, yes?
Hebrews chapter 4. Anybody in Hebrews chapter 4? Amen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4. For unto us, verse 2, was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Let's read this together. Not
the word did not profit them, but they mixed with faith in them that had it. Now I told you That does not mean that you bring the word in your court and then you have faith and you meet. You corrupt and then it works.
No.
In the meeting of faith, you're speaking about the reception of the word. So, the faith for salvation is in the positive reception of the word.
Hallelujah.
That's what I'm saying. When the word is preached, we're coming now from a certain thing. When the word is preached and the man does not believe, that's when it becomes unbelief. They cannot be unbelief without a message. So some people have just not had, but they are not unbelievers like that. Huh? Because how can you say I am an unbelief when there is no information placed to me to make the answer? Hallelujah.
So let's just go to Romans 10 and we see this sequence. Are you learning something already? Romans chapter 10, I'm in verse 8 now. How am I? Let's just start from the constituents of the gospel.
Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Now, the gospel, I told you, the gospel itself is an announcement. The word gospel means announcement of the good news, the works well done. We were telling you, you have EU, which is well done. And then, as a result,
for the proclamation of the message. And I told you,
even from where the word was taken from, back then it was the word from conquest. Someone conquers the land, sends its people, and they are under that person. In the Greek, they call that person the soteria, a noble who takes over the territory and protects it and provides it. It's called a soteria, what we call the sofa. And it's from there that we have soteria. Soteria is salvation in the Greek, soteria. So you cannot have salvation without a savior. So the savior defines the salvation.
Hallelujah.
So when he steps that place, there's a pronouncement of his good work. That pronouncement of the work, a pronouncement of the work well done is what we call the gospel. And that's why Proverbs says that as good news from a far country to as thirsty water to a hand, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so it's good news from a far country. Good news, the gospel.
Now, but when we add Christ, oh God, we are qualifying the good news.
What do I mean by qualification? We are giving it a context. We are giving it a boundary. What is the good news about? Now, you may not know why that is important. That is important because sometimes when people preach, they say the gospel is good news. What do we say? What is good news to the one who is single? You are getting married. What is good news to the one who has no job? You are getting a job. You know what I'm talking about. But when it becomes the gospel of Christ, it becomes a gospel about his exploits. So it has a boundary. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, speaks about what? Jesus is being. We speak about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And by gospel, his ascension. So the gospel of Christ has the boundary. So you need to ask yourself, what did you hear as the gospel? If you were somewhere and they told you today, if you believe Jesus, all your problems will be taken away, and that's the reason you've been coming to church. You are not born again. Because you never had the gospel. You had some good news. But it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:16, and to salvation. Hallelujah. Now, what do we mean? His death, burial, and resurrection. Now, from there, of course,
to get his incarnation. What do I mean? If he did not become a man, he cannot die. So the facts of his incarnation become equally as important.
Hallelujah.
So in Romans chapter 10, receive this. Again, Paul, he also gave a context to this gospel. The righteous faith speaketh this way: who shall ascend unto the heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says he? The word is nigh thee. Come on. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is what? The word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. What is that word of faith? That? The mouth of the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. How are you saved? The persuasion in their heart that God raised Christ from the dead is the means by which man attains. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is where the righteousness of God comes from. Hallelujah. Now, we do not say, what says it? If you shall come and confess your sins.
Does it say that now?
It does. Who do you confess?
The Lord Jesus.
So it is a confession of the Lordship of Jesus. But what is His Lordship? Again, His Lordship is in His life. Now, we may call these basics, but these things are not known. This is the basis of salvation. This is what you take a person who asks you, what shall I do? Who asks you what is next? Who asks you which book now should I read?
Start from here.
Even those who ask you who has gained wife, you start from here. Even those who ask you the best is going to hell, you start from here.
That is what they are for. By the time I ask you to go to put the baby in here, you don't know what salvation.
We need to take you back from the beginning. To what were you baptized in?
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm enjoying the introduction. But we have to move on. Let's just continue. What does it say now? For the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. This is Isaiah. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is over all and rich over all that call upon him. Now call upon him for what? Salvation. Rich what? Salvation.
If you don't come and just quote this verse, the same Lord is rich to all.
God is rich to all. Everyone is rich. Rich where? To save. He abounds in mercy. Those are the riches of His grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's continue reading. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So, you don't call a blind Bartimaeus. Oh! Thou son of David, call upon the name of the Lord. Call and come.
Call,
okay. They call upon the name of the Lord. They call when they have believed. That means the calling is actually the persuasion. The persuasion that this man took my place. That this man died for my sin. That persuasion said, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, better yet, not I need you. Jesus, better yet, I receive you. I receive you. Salvation. It's in faith.
It's not in
shouting to the Lord.
No.
It's in the frustration. So, how shall they call on the one they have not believed?
How does believing happen?
Okay.
What does it say?
Let's read 1, 2, 3, enter. How shall they believe in whom the one they have not had a vision about? How shall they believe in whom the one they have not?
Hear what am I saying?
How shall they believe in whom of
in him of whom they have not heard?
You cannot believe when there is no message. People must hear. Did he say, how shall they believe when the one they have not seen? Did he say, how shall they believe in the one they have not touched? Did he say, how shall they believe the one they have not experienced? Huh? No! How shall they believe the one they have not heard? It's not the God who touches them. It's the God they are persuaded about. Never despise their message. Never, never, never despise their message.
You see, first of all, when we are teaching and preaching, and because we never share some of the stories like I've just shared this morning, people think that it is happening.
Have you ever known a mirror, a man sees and the ghost comes to him and says, I don't think I'm very soon. It's the conviction that stands in a man's heart. Sometimes they're not standing up to shout. But things are turning on the inside of them, they are buying something, and when they go back, they will never be the same. The woman at the well, when Jesus was preaching, she might have never shouted, "Blood!" But when he was teaching and was saying salvation is from the Jews, my God, she understood. Went back and took the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to blind man, but he has only received his faith now.
But we know a woman who was caught in prostitution.
Yeah.
Since the Lord took her, we know the impact she has.
We see her. The six power that we have faith, they left him in the next meeting. All of them. Imagine 6,000 people walking away from church.
But when he asked him, his disciples, have you not sent us for the witness? To whom shall we go? You are. You have the words. What is that? You have the words. Never despise the power of the gospel.
Do you know what I mean by that? Never despise the message.
What is this? When you have entered into his glory. After 40 days, the only miracle signs and wonders we see to be walking through the walls, the rest of us teach. So he says, go and make decisions. There are things sometimes we say as ministers, and I don't know why we don't get ashamed. How can you say the world will know us? Do you know what you mean? They will see our money and they will know us. They will know we are the seed of Abraham. And what is Jesus? In fact, these are the ones who have turned the world upside down. They have come here. You know, they are passions all over the Bible. After they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, they were thrown. Do you know what they were thrown for? And they told them, preach not a
came in this name. They will attend to be our miracles. They like for you to attend to be our miracles. It makes save Jesus to us from the dead. You say he is God. But most of them are wondering. You do come to miracles on me, but you say Jesus is God. Is that the reason? You think it's the single thing? It is the message.
No one is persecuted for good works. The message. To go out and to give to the poor, even the government will recognize you. Unbelievers will say, I wish all pastors were like this one. I've never had unbelievers say that. I've had some kind of good brag.
If you brag that unbelievers like you, for what you're saying, there's a problem. In that case, for you, Mukuburiya, Sikuburiya, you are counseled, not preached. Hallelujah. The gospel is offensive.
Hallelujah. So, after this receiving of this gospel, next thing is to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are realities we must know. There are realities in the faith we must be aware of. Paul's prayers, we call them Pauline prayers. We call them the Spirit-inspired prayers. They were prayers for knowledge. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. Ephesians 1, 16 to 20. And then you also have Philemon 6. I'll use only Philemon 6 because of time. He says, and the communication of your faith be made effective by the acknowledge of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And we see that word communication, that is Philemon 6, Philemon 6. That word communication is the word that means fellowship. It means sharing. It means communion. It means what you have in common. What you have in common. So the participation in this thing that you have now received becomes effective. And then it introduces another word, acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is not just agreement. Acknowledgement speaks of a precise understanding. Speaks of revelation. It speaks of knowledge. A knowledge which is precise. A knowledge which is complete. It's not fact. No, 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 no. Again, it's the knowledge in the person. Knowledge of what? Every good thing. Where is that good thing? No, 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 no. Where is that good thing?
In you.
Where is that good thing? Make it personal. Where is that good thing?
Yes.
So that good thing is in me. Where?
In Christ.
That means in Christ, I don't have a good thing. I have many good things in Christ Jesus. Oh, how I wish believers was to do these good things which I have in Christ Jesus. Oh, how I wish to congregate more on these good things in Christ Jesus. So we see that in the gospel, we are learning about God. We are learning about God in Christ. In learning about God in Christ, we are seeing a Christ in us. So that's why we say, when we see Him, we see ourselves in Him. Now, this does not make you God. I've seen some people who are hanging things with it. You see? Sometimes people stretch.
I had someone once say, God is spirit. I am spirit. So I am God.
You know, that's a very grand stretch. If you keep going, you'll fall off the cliff. The fact you are halfway down.
Someone once said also, I think it's in the Psalms, that righteousness is the foundation of his growth, is it? So he says, I am the righteousness of God. So I am the foundation of God's growth. That is drunken. Like drunken master.
Drunken is a local food.
Like a step by step out. I am what makes God real. I am right. God is right. I God, God is. You see, your own righteousness is imputed. Who imputed God's righteousness? Don't you see you are not the same? You are invited to participation. What do you mean?
You're not the same as God.
The proper speech. Don't say what the scripture is not saying.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So how did I come to that?
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
So the communication of the faith.
Now, so we say in communication,
we have things we are in fellowship with God. We are in communion with God. I want to share something on fellowship and relationship. Some people say when you see, you don't need relationship, but you need fellowship. So your fellowship with God is broken, but your relationship remains. Just like when you annoy your wife, you remain in relationship, but your fellowship is broken. That's not part of that joke. It's a riddle. In that relationship of God is our fellowship. In the relationship of God, we have things we share. We have things in common. For instance, should be 1 Corinthians 3 and 17, there about, or 6 and 17. He says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's a word for fellowship. That's a word for communion. Stand, we share. And what we say, in 2 Corinthians, Paul ended the prayer with what we call the, what we like to end meetings with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. With you all, amen. That's the end of 2 Corinthians, right? But the thing is italicized. So, ideally, what is said? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a spirit of writing. Listen to this, this is part of the teaching. There is a spirit of writing, especially in the Bible, whereby the first article is the main article, and whatever follows is really an explanation or is a description of what is in the first article. I'll give you an example. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It doesn't say all scripture is given inspiration. You know what that means? That means you come to church and say, I didn't know what to say. But God gave me a word. That is all scripture is deep inspiration. But it is all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So you see those things. Now, what I mean is, the doctrine is the definitive article, is the main article. And all the things that follow are within the doctrine. Okay? So now, the doctrine being the explanation. In the doctrine, you have what?
Remember what I told you?
The instruction is in that.
Now, in that instruction, you find correction upon a post
to be realigned to a particular path in righteousness.
I'll give you another example. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not love and joy and peace and kindness and long suffering.
But the fruit of the Spirit is in love.
So in love you have what?
Joy.
Second.
So when we come back into 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it brings the follows the script. In there you see the love of God. In there is where we have the fellowship of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God and us, we have the Spirit. We and God have the Spirit in common.
That means the Spirit of God is in my spirit.
Amen. Romans chapter 8 says from my 16 to 16. You are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. And not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwells. If any man has not the Spirit of God, he is none of. So we have the Spirit of God. So we have the fellowship of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. It doesn't really mean when you go to your private room and put nice music and you feel you have the fellowship of the Spirit. No. The fellowship of the Spirit is your reality. And you have that fellowship of the Spirit because you are in relationship with God. Are we understanding something?
Hallelujah.
So, that
back to Philemon 6. You know, actually, it's not that I could disagree with the church. But I see. No.
Okay. So, the communication of faith is made effectual by the acknowledgement, the epiphanies, the precise understanding,
the good thing in us in Christ Jesus.
So we must understand the things that I'm Christ Jesus.
And that's why I am here today.
There are some realities that we must understand in Christ. There are some things that every believer must be aware of in Christ Jesus.
The first reality we looked at was what?
The reality of the Word. The reality of the Word. Let's go again over it quickly. The reality of the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Amen.
Are we there? 1 Peter 2, 2. Like we said sometimes, 1 Peter 2. Interesting, anyone has ever seen why I say 1 Peter?
I think so I've chosen the most important things.
You're somewhere, people can ask crazy things. You wish Peter said, why do you wear a bracelet? You know, when they ask you such things, you know you're not cheating the word. Why do you have a long beard? You know? You know sometimes when you teach well enough, people have enough to think about and to ask you seriously. Why do you hold the mic? People cannot question it. Because they have time in the service. You know? You are just telling the story, people have time to scrutinize it.
But I can teach you for a whole time, you don't even remember what I was putting on.
It happens. You know, we were sitting with the leadership on Thursday and I was telling Pastor Minister that for me, one of the things that ministered to me most is the seminar. How people leave the seminar, no one is saying anything. People say, I've never seen the scriptures. I got light. I feel, you know, that is a good teaching. No one remembers if I was wearing the wedding ring or not.
Oh. You know you are teaching the gospel when you cannot teach it yourself.
I remember one time, this year, but this year was a good one late last year. I met on Wednesday that my sister. People were very confident. How is this sister? And she said, someone actually said,
heaven in this earth. I think that's a good thing.
It shows we are really focusing on the right things.
Amen.
So the reality of the word.
One read a few verses, 1, 2, 3, enter. You born first of God, that you may be glorified.
The reality of the word.
Remember, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
So as people want to become saved, he desires what? That as babies you desire
the word
that you may grow thereby. What grows a Christian?
The word.
What? The word is where we are born. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. Let's read together. There in 1 Peter.
1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God.
Look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the word, the gospel is presented to you in the word. You believe the word, you become
saved.
You become born of the word. The same word gives us the assurance of who we are in Christ. Every believer should have confidence in the word. Every believer should have confidence in that word. We ought to seek God's word as a reality to our Christian living. Hallelujah. We seek God's word as a reality to our Christian living. You are born of the word, and therefore you sing with the word. Now we're going to understand what is the word. Now, first of all, the scriptures are inspired of God. The scriptures, again, let's start with Peter. Let's look at his second letter, 2 Peter 1:20. You see, the scriptures are inspired of God.
Look at 1:20.
Knowing this, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. They didn't make it up. It did come from them, okay? The prophecy came not in all time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope you know that what is written was first spoken. And the reason it is written, number one, is to guard it from manipulation, but also so that it can be spoken again. It was spoken, then written, so that it can be spoken. So we speak what is written. And we speak what is written from what another spoke. But what that another spoke, my brother, is not something they just usually came up with themselves, but it was something that was inspired of God. Theopneustos is the word. You have a theos, God, and then neustos, which speaks of breathing, inspiration. Where am I? 2 Timothy 3:16. Also says given by the inspiration of God. And not this. That doesn't mean that every scripture is the word of God. Even on such a day we saw the ones which are not. If there are any people and I the Lord has not done this, that is not the word of God. Oh, just he will send his angels and they will catch you. That is God. Inspired of God. What is inspired of God? What is inspired of God is the documentation. But those are the ones that get us. Now, isn't it interesting that the devil quoted the words of God?
That's why the Bible is not for quoting, but for explanation. Sometimes when you think a church that teaches the word, we mean exactly that God is quoting. But there are some businessmen that quote scriptures. Some are saying that the forbidden fruit is dead. But Adam and Eve face time. Now you are laughing, but you are speaking to 4,000. He quoted the scriptures. As long as the earth remains, seed, that means when I sow my seed, there is a time, the time I may be waiting, but there is time before the harvest. The time before the harvest.
Time before the harvest.
Seed time and harvest. That is not the expression of God. Now if you continue, you would have seen that it is also called a leader. That's why it's also there. In the temple itself, but when a person wants to quote their own will, they'll do that. Someone can make you believe Abraham never lied. Did you know Abraham? Huh? Did you know? They were broke, they were spending that money, he had to go to Egypt. Why did Isaac go to Egypt? Why did he preach the gospel? Isaac went to Egypt to marry Sarah. Yari Masanze. Hallelujah. And when they reached that, they did some business. That business was saying their wives are their sisters.
Abraham will walk out. But because you are not reading, and someone is only quoting for you what they want you to see. Praise the Lord. So not everything is written
in the Word of God.
The Word of God is the message of the Bible.
So now we're going to look at the message of the Word. Let me go to chapter 5, verse 39. Chapter 5, verse 39 also is the throne at the beginning. Because it was directed to a particular individuals. Right?
What does it say? Come on, are we there? Okay, let's read. 1, 2. Mm-hmm. So I see the scriptures. For in them you think what? You have. But they are there. Let's go to verse 40. And you will not come to me
that you may have life. This is what the verse you should use to undermine those who teach the scripture. Ready for you? Even Jesus said that I see, you search the scripture, but think you then have a life. I am the one that they speak about. That means there is a place beyond the scripture. Shut up. Come on. It's many people who are studying the Bible, but they are not, actually not studying. They were reading and quoting the Bible, but he was not the logos of the Bible. He wasn't the message of the Bible.
Remember in Luke chapter 24?
He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He left the widows, he left the assumptions of men, and he expounded the things concerning him.
Don't tell that to your neighbor. Amen. John chapter 1. Verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at that, the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him,
And without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life,
and life was the light of men.
So in the beginning was the Word. Was that everything was?
In the beginning was the Logos.
L-O-G-O-S.
Logos is one out like in the English you have biology.
Biology. Study of life. What other studies are there?
Zoology.
Study of zoos.
Study of animals.
I have heard of
sociology.
Study of what?
Social. So the logic, you have the logic, you have the mindset, you have the reason of something, you have the understanding of something. And that understanding, that reason, that study of God, that reason of God is Christ.
Is Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God. Or we can say, Jesus is the message of Hallelujah. Is the message of God.
In John chapter 14, verse 6, what does it say? I am the way, the truth, the life. Again, there are no different things. It's the same person. Not the way maker, he is the
Does that mean God will not make a way? There seems to be no way. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying he's not just the way maker.
He is the way.
He is the truth. He is the life. Those are direct statements speaking of the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. Come on, let's read verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Wow. Who had they seen?
Who's the Father? Huh? Why are we always getting to that? Okay, let's read it again. Because
come on, let's read. If you had known me, you should have known the Father. And from henceforth, you know him. Show us the Father.
Who is the Father?
Now that shows you, by him saying I am the way, the truth and the life, he was not just speaking about access to God. He's not speaking about direction to God. He's not speaking about upwards to God. He's saying I am him. I am He. I am God.
So, the knowledge and acquaintance about Jesus is the knowledge about God. God relates with man through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Christianity is relationship and fellowship found with God, found only with Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. He is the message. He is the message of the Word. Remember what are we looking at? The reality of the And who is that reality?
Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1. Church is Bible school.
Amen. Judges. And that's why you came now, is it? Hebrews chapter 1. Are we there? God has many times and diverse manners spoken times past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God speaks in his Son. Don't think God has produced someone. Pastor Soto explained to us very well last May. When you say his Son, don't think God pushed. His Son means God. Yeah, you find that one in the book. Hallelujah. In fact, I like how we brought it to say that we usually don't wrestle with that. The divinity of God, Jesus, but we usually wrestle with that. Humanity. Jesus. Those who are born again. And in this, I think those who are not born again, they don't wrestle with the humanity of Jesus. They wrestle with the divinity. The Jesus God, now. Those who are born again, they say, my God and man. No. I say, is Jesus God? Yes. Because they will say, the people stop to God. Some people want to hear. Amen. But for those of you who are listening to these things, first time or have not had them for a very long time, I want to encourage you, I want to tell you, don't fear. Brother, don't be discouraged. Don't feel hopeless. Don't feel like, oh my God, I'm finished, I wasted all the time. Yes, you could have. But from now on, you can make a decision. You can decide to listen to the right things from now. And you can know God. Because God desires to be known. He became a man so that no one could call him mysterious anymore. Stop being in the spiritual reality and became a life person so that he demonstrated himself. So that we stop assuming. I think maybe 2 weeks ago, a week. Very famous athlete, guy, one whom I also love very, very much, Kobe Bryant. Some, you know, it's amazing. Someone that great, some forgive me, and it's okay. I remember it was that person was saying, "Me Kobe." Wait, what did you call it now? Kobe? So who's that? So, and it was all over social media, and some people just wanted to get in the train, so they also got an idea. Wow. Will you start with so comply? What do we do some people? It's not that you're supposed to be why. Because the whole world is celebrating someone and you can't know you. That is where. But anyway, the thing I want to pick up on how when you look over social media you see this. That's our God that's saying that we can't understand now because he was quite young. This guy was great, I mean, really great. Not just what he did, but his mentality and how he inspired people. So people are saying, like, that's our God that's chosen. He died in a plane crash with his daughter, 13 years old. So he said, God, why now? I have very many questions, I don't have answers. And people are generally putting this out on Twitter, very famous people, even believers, but they don't understand how something like this will happen. And Jesus, when God came in Jesus, John 1:14, so that we don't have such questions. He said, why did God take you away so high? And someone can imagine that too. And some people's faith is shaken when they lose their love. Some people don't wake up.
he has understood wrong. That is not God. God, Jesus now, Jesus lost his friend and he prayed. How could it have been his will? Look at God Lazarus. How could it? That's the only question of Jesus. But you don't know why. But he had lost his friend. How can that same person? How could it have been his will for Lazarus to die? You see how, if we actually look at everything together, we'll stop asking that question. Even before we understand something. So this is a God of compassion. This is a God of love. Why does he even kill a man in a plane crash? To do what? To gain money. Even if it was an unbeliever, God has got this business. He kills something. God doesn't kill. He kills life. So, and I think, first of all, even your question and my question as we write, that we need to teach people who God is. Because people walk about life with wrong assumptions. People make decisions out of religious thinking, and which is not right. Like I said, someone can wake up and say, God told me to live my life. So you're talking about those things that happen, and we know them. People tell us. A man, women can't be cross that. They come and tell Pastor, Pastor, this guy wakes up, prays in tongues. Every day, read the scriptures, preach to other people. But he came and told his own family one day, that God has told me to just go away from you guys for a while. To go away. No support, nothing. God told me to go away and fix him. Which God is that? Every so-called emotion, that's what I'm going to give man of God. Leave a man of his wife. God has told me to take on another wife. Which God? Small boy. Why? Because overall we just have people just don't know who God is. And these are the things you start from to know who God is. Now you know you said you are a sinner. Why would you sin and now hide away from you? Someone preaches you something else. And something for many of you. The Lord that is doing you to hear some dust in front, coming from in front, is going to take you time to watch. People do things. People are shocked. For example, I was shocked someone did something recently. I told them, me, I'm not shocked. Does that mean I saw that they could? But you can't see. You see, sometimes it's not that people are just quoting scripture. The word of God has an effect. The word of God has an effect.
Yes, yes.
There's a difference between being the signboard. You know a signboard? It tells you this is step out of the way, but it doesn't go there. Just points. This way. Immediately that, which is not attending that. You can be a signboard.
Yeah.
And I hear preachers say this thing many times and they disturb me. You stand up and you become emotional. I was preaching all this time, but in my heart, I was telling people, but me, I was hurting. Why are you hurting? Father God, why? Why would you give us a message that is delivering us and is not delivering you? You're being a signboard. That's why, even when you're listening to the message, don't be thinking, oh, Peter should be.
Body of the leader.
Oh, guy, he has to be. That will go with it now. What can you do? And speaking to us, the kingdom of God has come. We hear the sick, we raise the dead, we are the devils. Sitting under Jesus' teachings, even the remedial classes, don't know how to call them now.
regard the same as teaching them. But these people, they are not willing to give you faith. Mm. This is too quick to just until it is 22.
How much is this kind of writing?
The man is deep, the woman is dead.
For me, I refuse to believe the word of God has been transferred.
All that, the word that the word was, I don't know how you hear it. For me, when I'm listening to the word, I'm listening to I'm listening to bitterness. I'm very careful. I never say anything I'm not doing.
Yes.
Stand on the reality of the world. Don't be like this. Hey, you are like that's my MRI machine. After. This month you are mad at God. Next month you have a baby. The other month you are mad at God. Then you can't live like that. Challenges prove what you have understood. Always watch how you respond when you receive contradiction.
Why me?
The word of God is powerful. As I read it, it's changing me. It's changing me. And if you instruct me and I mean, I am changing. As I pray, I know I'm changing. I know I'm changing. I know I'm going to be, I know I'm going to be a better man. I am a much better man than I was. And I know I'm going to be a better man. And I can tell you someone that I see what they me, you are okay.
Oh my. Because I trust
I'm not going to quit the ministry. Don't talk like that, I'm going to remember the mind. No! Come on, come on, come on. If the word doesn't give you assurance, then I don't know which word it is. Because the word that gives you such assurance that you're going to sit down. So that I can say, Lord, in my name, of whom shall I be afraid? I don't fear man.
That's why the people who don't be fear for me, they fear that I may be a
I know how to be polite. I am wrong. But because sometimes people find me very resolved, they think I'm good. I shall.
No.
I am just resolved. When there is someone else working with me, Paul, your message is in my hand, I am that day. My message, your hand. What punishes them? But you know, I helped them. I just smiled. I said, oh my God, how are you this day? It's the assurance of the Lord. There is an assurance in the world that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. You know, in which time I am not praising and worshiping and honoring God, not because of what you will do, but in this moment you are just contentment is a present thing. I think one of the reasons people are very depressed is because they have not understood contentment. And they can never understand contentment when you never understand the heart of the matter. Every time compare yourself, every time sad, every time I'm happy. It's very possible for a believer to
win every time. To live victorious every time. And when you think that you're seeing your reality, joy is not something you force. It's something that is your reality. And that's why we teach. We teach more and more and more that you become persuaded. Now, sometimes because of the environment you have come from, we want to come and hear inspiration. Oh, I just went through a long week. I just need your words to lift me up. That's how they lift you up and they lift you in air. And you go down. You break your leg. Just going through a tough time right now at home. I just need a word for now. I don't need to. I need some preachers that get it. I'm sorry to say that. You know, the people report the public and say, sometimes I just need someone to hold my shoulder and tell me I love you. I don't need to hear Christ die for me. I don't need to hear my baby. I just want someone. I don't have something like that. This is what we came from. In small groups, sometimes you never understand. In small groups, you actually have people who are carrying your life. People want to pray. People are encouraging you. What is it? At that moment, I don't want to be anything about God. We'll think about Allah. What is it? Let me tell you, you arm yourself with that. This world can't be trusted. This world is always shit. What you have security in can be gone tomorrow.
But there's one who will never go.
Yeah.
Oh, on Christ, the solely Roman stand.
No,
that ground, that ground, unshifting, unchanged.
Anybody else can change. And let me tell you, that's why people are always disappointed.
Because people resent.
People will need you. Hopefully not your spouse. People will need you. But God will want.
Yeah.
People have left us. People have left us. I don't want to die. I never lose any sleep over it. I just feel sorry for it. I don't feel sorry. In fact, back then, it was worse, 49% But then, back then, yes, but my brothers will know. I would usually stand up and tell them, even if no one is praying, I will pray. The four of you don't show up, I will be here. Remember, they said to me, super after told me I was proud for saying that. But that was my conviction. I don't do this for the crowd. Man, guys, I want to leave that. Whatever place you think God adds to your life never changes. Never changes. So I can come from Bible study and preaching all those people. I come to the next meeting and I'm with my disciple. And they will tell me, same passion.
Amen. Oh, that we may have that. Hallelujah. Just come and prepare to pray for me at this course. So they didn't make the promise of the message. The promise of the message. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. The promise of the message. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. The message has a promise. Looking at the reality of the word. The message of the word. I've looked at the message of the word. Now we're looking at the word. The promise of the message. There's the promise. Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's a promise. There's a promise in the message. Let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. It says, verse 14, saying, surely blessing, I'll bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply you. This was a promise made to Abraham. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Wherefore, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil. We have a promise. Now that word promise, remember, like you've seen to Abraham, he swore by himself. God's promise to Abraham was the best of what Abraham would do. God's promise to Abraham was the best of Abraham's faith. And God made an oath with himself. May he now bless you and multiply it. The word promise means a self-commitment. Self-commitment. Something that you will do by yourself. Not like our fathers used to promise us. If you get the first grade, I'll buy you a bicycle. That's not God's promise. God's promise is that I will save. I will do it. I promise. I swear. It means I swear. But that's what the radio people is trying to show. He swore by. That means it can be trusted. And what is that promise? What is that blessing? Back to Galatians chapter 3. What is that? The blessing of Abraham might come through the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:14. That we may receive the promise of that Spirit through faith. So what is the promise? It is the Spirit. Actually, better than it will be the promised Spirit. Blessing of Abraham, promise by which God swore, will be the indwelling of the Spirit. Will be the Spirit of God. God promised that in the message. God promised that in the gospel. That is a message we stand by. That promise was solely dependent on God and not dependent on what Abraham would do. Remember again when it comes to the gospel, what was Abraham's response? What was Abraham's response? I take it. I receive it. I want it. I need that promise. That's why it is called faith. That's why it's called the father of faith. It wasn't about Isaac in his old age. It was about the promised Savior to come. In the promised Savior to come, in his work that he will do, will be the giving of the Holy Spirit. Is a blessing of Abraham. That is a promise of the gospel. That is a promise of his word. Hallelujah. Let me just stand up on our feet and just thank God for the promise in the message. Thank God for the promise in the word. Come on, open your mouth right now. Just thank God for the promise.